when we become a believer, there's a lot to learn, right? And we need to be equipped. And there's also a lot to unlearn, because we tend to use what we had before we were a Christian to try to do the will of God. And I believe this verse is a similar corresponding verse in Ephesians 2, verse 10, where it says, working, you know, that we don't do good works to earn our salvation, but we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which he has placed in our pathway, that we should walk in them. And this is similar. He not only wants us to do good works, but he is going to equip us to do them, and he's going to have us do them in the way that pleases him. And I think this is all under the expression God of peace, that he is in that way. He has brought us out of the dead, just like he brought his son out of the dead. He led him out of the grave. What an unusual expression. We say he raised him from the grave. He led him out of the grave in this verse. And he has led us out of the grave, spiritually speaking. We were all dead in trespasses and sins. And now he's going to equip us. I like that expression some translations use. He equips us. It's a thought that the God of peace is training us and equipping us. Not to serve him like we may have in the energy of the flesh, but to serve him with the Spirit of God energizing and leading us.
And I think there's a final, I think there's a nice touch too. Brian, you mentioned the fact that it's mentioned our Lord Jesus, but he is also mentioned in there as a great shepherd of the sheep. I mean, this is again, take our eyes, because this is his present ministry. As a great shepherd of the sheep, he is there in the presence of God to take care of every need of his own today. And that is really a comforting thing. That's what gives a believer peace in the midst of all of these circumstances. Not only that the stability, that the work is done, God is satisfied, our eternity is secure. Not only that, but the fact for my daily need, our Lord, he is a great shepherd of the sheep. He knows exactly, there is no greater shepherd than him. There is no good shepherd better than him, gooder than him. Much, whatever that is. But he is a great, he is a great, the great shepherd of the sheep. That's what his character, that's what his name, and what's his present function today on your behalf and mine.
And you have the last verse. Or are we not up to that? Romans 16.
Not yet.
Not yet.
Yeah, 1 Thessalonians, we have another expression of the God of peace. And here it's what is in view, what's coming. And it's kind of interesting as you think of all of that we've been sharing just in this section. It reminds us of what we started with in the very beginning. The harmony, the absence of enmity, but the expression of harmony, a harmonious relationship. And to think that he would deign to have his presence with us, to work with us to produce what is pleasing to himself. But then there is what is yet to come. And so in 1 Thessalonians 5, we have, it's the God of peace who is going to wholly sanctify us. The idea that we are living in troublesome times, there is the remembrance and this exhortation, this encouragement, that the God of peace, whom we can experience that peace even in the midst of trouble, he's going to deliver us completely out of trouble. He says, I would that the very God of peace sanctify you wholly or completely. We are sanctified. We know this as a doctrine. We know that we are sanctified. We know that we are growing and progressing in our sanctification as we give ourselves wholly to the Word of God and trusting and being transformed and changed in that process. As we, you know, talk about changing our thought processes because we want to experience and know the presence of the God of peace with us. But here it reminds us that this God of peace is going to wholly, completely leave nothing left to any other circumstance. He's going to sanctify his Holy Spirit, soul, and body, preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's, again, this rich, harmonious relationship that he wants every part of us to be preserved until that day.
In this matter of sanctification, the name there, it is not the God of peace. It is the God of peace himself, or the very God of peace. It's kind of that little added word in there. It's the God of peace himself. This is a personal thing now. The matter of sanctification of the believer and keeping them, to bring them home safely. And it's not just a matter of soul and spirit which has been taken care of, but that matter of the body too. It will be taken care of. And the one that does that is the God of peace. It's the God of peace himself. It's kind of remind me again, Thessalonians, the Lord himself. It is something personal that he took upon himself to do it for you and I. Nobody else. He'll bring us safe home. He will bring us safe home, and no created power going to stop that, because it's the very God of peace. It's a God of peace himself.
This has the thought of keeping us that way before that moment, because exactly. It will take place. Yeah. Right? And so I think this is has a very practical application to the believer. You know, when we were unsaved, we had a different spirit, and we had a different way of looking at things, different feelings. And we treated our bodies a certain way. You know, it's my body. I can do with it what I want. But now that we've become the Lord's, he wants it set apart, the whole being. And it's not just limited to the spirit and the soul. And maybe some of our past, we had done certain things to ourselves. Well, the Lord is a Lord of grace and mercy, and he understands that. But now that we've become believers, we should give a testimony against that lifestyle. Not live as a believer saying, well, this is fine, you can live this way too. But rather, not be proud of that past sin. And if possible, to correct those things that we can correct. The Lord can help us. But it's just all three, and he wants us to be kept. So I think there is a practical application until the Lord takes us or he returns for us.
Yeah, there's a list of things that precedes this, because it says in verse 23, and the very God of peace. So it's sort of result of, or as a result of, in a sense, in a certain sense. For example, verse 16, rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing. We saw that in Philippians 4. But then he says in verse 18, in everything give thanks, not for everything. You can't give thanks for everything, but you can give thanks in everything. That's what he says. And someone will often ask, what is the will of God for me? I always turn to this verse. Like, what do you think God's will is for me? Well, I don't know, but I know this. It says, this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you, that in everything we give thanks. We don't know anything else. We know that's God's will, that we give thanks. Quench not the spirit. The idea there, quench, is like in the original language, is the idea of when there's a fire and you take a bucket of water and you throw it on the fire. You know, it sort of quenches it. It puts it out. One paraphrase says, don't put out the spirit's fire. Like it's if we allow things in our life that would quench the spirit or put out the spirit's fire, that's not good. Despise not prophesying, the teaching of the word, being under the ministry of the word. Prove all things, hold fast that which is good. And the authorized version is a little off here. Abstain from all appearance of evil. It's actually from every form of wickedness. It's not just the appearance of it, right? But the actual thing to keep apart from anything that would be of a character not godlike. You know, that would be wicked. And the God of peace will sanctify.